So good afternoon. Let's go ahead and resume from this morning's meeting. Again, this is a meeting of the title setting board. The time is 1:32 p.m. Title setting board today consists of the following. My name is Bill Hobbs. I'm Deputy Secretary of State here on behalf of Secretary of State Bernie Buescher. To my immediate right is Dan Domenico, Solicitor General, here on behalf of Attorney General John Southers. And to my immediate left is Sharon Eubanks, Deputy Director of the Office of Legislative Legal Services, who is here as the designee of the Director of the Office, Charlie Pike. Just to repeat some of the procedures that make sure everybody is familiar with them, we're not concerned with the merits of any measure, but only with the setting of titles. Our procedure is three steps. The first step for any new measure is that we ask questions of the proponents if needed to be sure we understand the measure. And second, we will consider whether the board has jurisdiction to set a title, and that requires us to determine whether or not the measure complies with the single subject requirement. And third and finally, if we do determine we have jurisdiction to set a title, then we will work on the title using a staff prepared draft, a copy of which should be on the table by the door. I think that's the preliminary, so let's go to the next agenda item, 2009-2010, number 47, sale of marijuana in a regulated market. If we could hear from representatives of the proponents, whoever would like to speak for proponents, Mr. DeVert, or you'll come forward, identify yourself for the record, and
my name is Mason DeVert, and I am one of the proponent representatives for number 47. We have reviewed the staff draft of the ballot title and have come up with a few potential edits that we would like to bring to your attention. I would be happy to go over each of those at this point.
Let me hold off just a little bit. Let me again first find out if we have any questions from the title board before we get to the draft title. Domenico?
Well, I want to make sure everybody's comfortable with my continuing to sit on the board. I am the Attorney General's designee. We haven't discussed this measure. I frankly don't know what position he would take on this. If he did take a position, I don't know. It wouldn't necessarily affect how I act here, but I just want to make sure that you all are comfortable with me sitting on the board, given that there's been debate with the Attorney General on
about an hour ago, right?
Issues related to this, although not necessarily this measure itself.
As of this time, we have no problem with that.
Okay, great.
Any questions for Mr. DeVert? Ms. Eubanks?
Thank you. In terms of the first subsection of your measure that sets forth the purpose and findings related to the measure, I'm curious in terms of sort of your purpose in this provision, and the reason I'm asking is that there appears to have been some changes made to the language between review and comment and filing this measure with the title board, and so I'm just trying to figure out if it's a substantive change that would require the measure to go back to review and comment and would deny the title board jurisdiction to set a title.
This is with regard to the purpose and findings? No, we simply, we made no substantive changes, and it's our understanding that that purpose is merely setting forward our personal feelings on why we believe this measure is necessary.
So striking the language that you did,
which was simply the one specific line
about the link between marijuana and other drugs. Because it's my understanding that change was not made in direct response to any questions or comments made during the review and comment hearing.
We simply amended the purpose and findings to conform to the proper formatting and designation of what our purposes are. I think the only things that were really changed were the removal of a specific line that referred to a reference suggesting that marijuana be the link between marijuana and other illicit drugs, such as heroin and cocaine, would be broken for teens who attempt to purchase marijuana. I don't think that that has any real substantive effect on the purpose of this initiative. It's simply a matter of opinion stated by the proponents of the initiative. It's still our position, but we simply removed that language so as to not have the words heroin and cocaine appear in the purpose.
In terms of in subsection 3 of the measure, where it discusses, it basically sets forth certain acts or activities that people could not be, anyone 21 years or older would not be prosecuted for. And in particular in Rome 2, you talk about the number of plants that someone could have. In reading this provision in terms of being able to have a license for a cultivation facility, am I correct in understanding then that a cultivation facility can only have up to 3 non-flowering and 3 flowering plants?
No, I believe that this is pertaining solely to a private individual.
And so is there anything in the measure that talks about, I mean, a private individual is going to have a facility, right?
A private individual is going to have a license. Would have to receive a license.
At this point, the measure doesn't limit or impose any restrictions on the number of plants that...
To my knowledge, it does not. When it comes to producing marijuana on a mass scale, there are certainly instances where plants will not survive a full period of growth. There are instances where plants will have problems that they need to remove, such as a mold or a certain type of infestation. So in terms of conforming to safety standards and whatnot, we may see someone who is licensed as a manufacturer needing to produce more, much like the producer of Coors certainly doesn't only produce a keg of beer, they produce plenty of it, and they're licensed to do so, and then they give it to their distributors who are licensed to provide it to the public.
But the measure says that someone, an individual, as you said, who's 21 years or older, won't be prosecuted for having up to 3 non-flowering and 3 flowering. But it's silent as to whether a person with more than those that number of plants would be at least liable criminally for prosecution if they had more than those plants.
There is no limit, as far as I'm aware, with regards to the number of plants. It is our intention that a cultivation facility would have no limit on the number of plants they can produce. And this section is merely pertaining to a private individual and exempting them from criminal law should they be possessing or cultivating up to 6 plants, 3 mature, 3 immature.
And if there was a limitation on cultivation facilities, that would be something that might be envisioned in the legislation that the General Assembly would enact?
Perhaps. I don't know really what the purpose of such a limitation would be. If the business is licensed to cultivate marijuana, I don't necessarily know why there would be a need to limit the amount they're producing in light of the other regulations that are being proposed. But I'm sure that that is certainly something that could be involved with regards to the local and state licensing procedures.
What I'm confused about is the criminal liability of individuals involved with a cultivation facility. If they don't fit under this limitation as an individual...
They're licensed. These are individuals without licenses.
Well, I know, but if the law only says that these, you know, within these limitations, they're exempt from criminal liability, if there's a potential problem in terms of someone with more... Because a facility is going to be owned by someone, there's going to be people involved, even if it's a corporation. And so I'm just trying to understand how it works.
See Section 7 of this particular subsection, you'll see that cultivating, harvesting, processing, packing, transportation, or possession of marijuana, selling marijuana to a marijuana licensee, and the purchase of marijuana from a marijuana cultivation facility or a marijuana product manufacturer, if the person has obtained a license to operate a marijuana cultivation facility or is acting in his or her capacity as an owner, employee, or agent of a licensed marijuana cultivation facility. In my interpretation, that would suggest that an individual who is cultivating under a license is exempt from criminal penalties regardless of the number of plants they're producing, since it does not specify a number of plants in that section.
Even though the introductory portion of the provision is a person who's 21 years of age or older, I mean, and you made the reference, I mean, so two is dealing with someone that doesn't have one of these other licenses, seven deals with an individual who has been licensed.
That is correct.
Okay.
Although two would certainly refer to an individual with a license as well, should they be producing marijuana in their own home.
Okay. Your measure doesn't have page numbers, and so it's on the fifth page, where it's I, if and I just want to make sure that I understand that there's the ability for someone to receive a local license only if the state denies the license and hasn't informed the applicant of the reason for denial under I. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Or is there a dual licensing scheme provided for by this measure in terms of state and local?
Essentially, an operator is required to have one or the other, and if they find that the state is not responsive to their request for a license, they have the option of seeking one at the local level.
Okay. And also, under J, if the General Assembly hasn't enacted the legislation specified in this measure, then it appears then there's the local license option.
Correct.
In regard to the legislation that the General Assembly is required to enact by, I believe it's March 1st, 2011, one of those things is the enactment of a tax on marijuana. And since your measure is silence, I assume that the voter approval requirement of Section 20 of Article 10 of the state constitution would apply, so that the General Assembly can't actually enact a tax by March 1st, 2011, because any statutory imposed tax would have to be referred to the voters, and that wouldn't occur until November of 2011.
It's my understanding that an excise tax like that is not something that would have to be referred, nor is tax specifically addressed in this. If that's something that the legislature or locality would like to address, that's certainly their prerogative.
I thought your measure requires them to enact legislation.
Yes, by May 1st, 2011, not March 1st.
Well, I'm looking at E, which is on the third page of your measure, and it says not later than March 1st, 2011, the General Assembly shall enact legislation. Oh, and that may include. Okay, so how, if the list is optional, that it may include these things, but it's not required. If the GA chose to do a tax because Section 20 of Article 10 applies to all new taxes, it requires voter approval. I'm just curious in terms of when do the localities know by May 1st, 2011, whether the GA has enacted the legislation required by your measure to know whether the local licensing framework kicks in or whether there's sufficient state licensing.
It's my understanding that after May 1st, 2011, has the General Assembly not enacted legislation, the individual can simply apply to a locality.
And then my last question is dealing with the requirement that licensees, their names and addresses be kept confidential. Let's say an individual that's 21 years of age or older wants to purchase marijuana as allowed under this measure. How, if the information about who is a licensee is confidential, how will a person know if a particular, I don't know, retail outlet, whatever you want to call it, is, you know, it's legal to buy at that establishment? Is there any...
Well, I mean, I certainly don't think that people who enter alcohol sales establishments ask to see their license prior to purchasing it. I think it's the responsibility of the licensee to follow those guidelines, and if they're not, then they're in violation of the law. But in light of the fact that this is a new area of the law and marijuana is still a commodity that is highly sought after, particularly in an illegal market until this is established, we feel it's necessary to maintain confidentiality of these individuals, where they live, where they're producing this marijuana.
But it wouldn't be an illegal market after this measure, if the voters approve it and it's implemented, right?
But immediately following the implementation of this measure, there will certainly be individuals who, much like currently with the medical marijuana system, where they are being licensed and they are following laws, are unable, or their names are kept confidential and so on, because they do still stand the risk of being the subject to crime. Regardless, I don't know that there's any illegal or any problem legally with this concept of maintaining confidentiality of this list, especially since law enforcement will have the ability to determine whether a person or location is a marijuana licensee.
But if someone filed an open records request to know what licenses have been issued by the state pursuant to this measure, someone couldn't obtain that information?
No. And I don't know that is necessary. Yeah. In large part, this is an issue surrounding the fact that marijuana remains illegal at the federal level, and these individuals would potentially be subject to prosecution and arrest by federal authorities. So it is in the state's interest and in these individuals' interest to keep this list confidential. Obviously, if an individual is doing business with a marijuana licensee and so on, they would certainly be able to ask that person to see their license or what have you. But the fact is that the database would remain confidential.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Tabert?
Can I just ask how this is intended to interact with both the medical marijuana amendment that's already in the Constitution and the other proposed amendment? Just are they both going to go forward? Do you think they conflict in any way? Or
I certainly cannot speak for the other proposed amendment, as I'm not a representative of that initiative. With regards to how this measure would interact with the current medical marijuana law, it's my understanding that individuals who currently have medical marijuana licenses would still be following state medical marijuana law by accessing and producing marijuana in accordance with that particular law. Ultimately, if a current medical marijuana dispensary or producer or what have you is interested in providing marijuana to individuals who are simply 21 years of age or older, they would have to go through the appropriate licensing process in order to expand that.
Thanks.
And let's, if there's no other questions, let's turn to question of jurisdiction of the board to set titles and single subject question. I have a couple of other people signed up to testify. I don't know whether they want to testify on that issue in opposition to the measure or not. Brian Vicente and Blake Harrison. Do you want to testify at this time? Okay. Mr. Tvert, how would you express the single subject of the measure?
To establish a legal and regulated market for the sale, book production and sale of marijuana.
Discussion by the board on jurisdiction to set a title. Ms. Eubanks?
Well, it's my understanding that the change made to the purpose and finding in subsection 1 of the measure was made without being prompted by any questions or comments raised during review and comment. Because it is in the purpose and finding section, I'm not convinced that it's a substantive change. So I think that we do have jurisdiction. I believe that there's a single subject, that the measure contains a single subject, and that we should proceed to set a title.
Seems to me that there's a single subject. I'd like to make a motion for discussion purposes, Ms. Eubanks.
I would move that the board find that proposed initiative 2009-2010, number 47, constitutes a single subject, and that we proceed to set a title.
I'll second that. Discussion by the board? Not all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Then let's turn to the staff prepared draft. And Mr. Tvert, I believe you said that was satisfactory, but what comments would you offer?
We had asked that we would like to have or three marijuana plants that are more than 12 inches in height, or three marijuana plants that are less than 12 inches in height removed from the language. So this would be in lines 4 and 5.
Beginning where Ms. Gomez is marking, specific language you would remove?
That's correct.
What she has highlighted?
Yes. Nope, just that. Oh, you had it. What's that? Yeah, that's all the way down until you reach height, correct. Yeah, so we want to remove in line 4 and 5, following three flowering marijuana plants, we would like to strike, or three marijuana plants that are more than 12 inches in height. So that one. And then in the next line, or three marijuana plants that are less than 12 inches.
Just help me through that.
We simply think it's relatively redundant, and there's no need to jumble up this language by specifying whether they're 12 inches in height or not. The real substance of the issue is that you can have three flowering marijuana plants and three non-flowering marijuana plants, and you don't feel that specifying 12 inches in height is necessary.
Ms. Eubanks?
Well, I'm not sure to just leaving it to the number of plants, whether flowering or non-flowering, is an accurate representation of the measure, because there are size restrictions for both types of plants. But when I read the staff draft, I had the thought that perhaps whether it's flowering or non-flowering, for most people, they won't understand the significance of the difference, or it deals with whether they can be harvested or not, but I don't know if it really tells them very much. And so whether or not, as an alternative to the change that's been proposed, we say something like up to 1 ounce of marijuana and to possess up to 6 marijuana plants depending on size and harvestability, or just up to, all the details are somewhat, accurate. I'm not sure are necessary, because I don't think the voters generally understand the importance of flowering versus non-flowering.
I don't think that specifying a specific height will have an impact on whether they understand the concept of whether a plant is flowering or not flowering. With the current medical marijuana law, it's simply specified as 3 flowering plants, or mature plants, and 3 immature. I think that voters will have a better understanding of this initiative by simply finding out that it allows for 3 mature and 3 immature plants, or flowering and non-flowering, as opposed to putting in a height restriction that is otherwise part of the measure. But there's certainly a lot of parts of this measure that need not be included in the ballot title. So it simply seems like excess, and that it does not do anything to clarify on this issue. It in fact might cloud what people's understanding of it is.
Well, an understanding that the medical marijuana provision in the Constitution may refer to mature or immature, or flowering or non-flowering, whether or not that's useful information to voters is my issue. I don't think it's helpful at all, because I don't think most people will understand the significance. And so I think, if we don't make any reference to size or harvestability, that it's up to 6 marijuana plants, or then we put in depending on size and harvestability.
I think it's critical that people understand that we're talking about 3 plants that are capable of being harvested and 3 plants that are not. And I don't know that we can jump to the conclusion that most voters don't understand that, because it's my understanding that voters currently understand the concept behind it with regards to medical marijuana. I think it's fairly straightforward with regards to whether a plant is flowering or not. And the fact remains that people may think that if it says up to 6 plants, that's suggesting people may have 6 full marijuana plants that they can harvest at any one time in their own home, which is never going to be the case under this law. It will be the case that only 3 marijuana plants that are harvestable, that are flowering, those words are potentially interchangeable, are allowed, and 3 non-flowering. And this is generally just an issue of maintaining supply, and that's why it was created in the medical marijuana law that way, because it takes several days, if not months, to cultivate a marijuana plant, so you can't wait until you harvest one to start the other. So the idea is that while you have 3 harvesting, you also have 3 that will be ready to harvest in the future.
Can I reveal my ignorance about this marijuana cultivation? How much, approximately, usable marijuana would you get off of? I assume that the point is non-flowering or under 12 inches, essentially there's no useful marijuana available.
Correct.
Over 12 inches and flowering, how much approximately would you estimate on one plant?
It is so variable that it's hard to say. It depends on the type of marijuana that's being produced, the strain of marijuana. It depends on what type of light, what type of environment's being provided. It also depends on how people practice their growing. But it's safe to say that there are, certainly you were correct in that, plants that are non-flowering or under 12 inches have absolutely no marijuana that can be harvested from them. They're simply a stem with a couple leaves. In fact, those can even grow to be higher than 12 inches and still produce no marijuana. But we felt that the 12-inch mark was just a simple way to make it clear that we're allowing three plants that can produce marijuana and three that cannot.
The reason I ask is because we talk about possession of 1 ounce of marijuana, which obviously refers to smokable or usable marijuana, and then switch to kind of size of a plant. And I'm just trying to figure out if all of a sudden, if these three plants could give you 20 ounces of marijuana, then that's really material, really important, because it's 20 times what we just talked about. If it's closer to being just like your own weekly or monthly supply, then it might be a little less material to get into all these details.
Well, I would, number one, just simply point out that there's no way of knowing whether a marijuana plant will fully harvest and be usable. So it would be incredibly difficult to impose that. I mean, it's much like we would allow an individual to possess as many raw ingredients as they'd like to homebrew. Perhaps those ingredients could add up to more than they're able to do, but the fact remains that they have a right to do that. So again, marijuana plants frequently die, they frequently have problems, and by allowing up to three plants, we're simply ensuring that people would actually be able to produce marijuana for themselves, and they will know the law, and they will need to respect that law.
Okay, because what I was considering was whether we could just say, somehow say that it essentially permits people to possess certain amounts of marijuana or marijuana plants. Somehow say that. That's not very elegant. And then leave the details, like the 1 ounce and the number of plants and their size, to the measure itself. I'm not sure that works for what you're after.
I don't think that works at all. I mean, that's suggesting that any amount, I mean, that's basically saying that a person can possess as much marijuana as they want, and that's how a typical person would read that. The fact is that it's making it legal for someone to possess up to 1 ounce and three flowering plants and three non-flowering plants. It's very straightforward.
What if you put a limit? Well, it's not quite three flowering and three non-flowering, because, as I read it at least, it's up to three that are non-flowering and under 12, and then in addition to those three that are either flowering or are more than 12 inches, which again is what I'm just not smart enough to know whether that's an important distinction. The fact that you can have three that are 15 inches but not flowering is important. I don't know. What I was suggesting was something like permitting people to possess certain limited amounts of marijuana. So to get the I agree with you, we need to make clear that there are limits in here. I'm just wondering if we need to actually say what the limits are.
Well, we would think it's much clearer to leave the language as is, as opposed to leaving it blank with regards to the number of ounces and number of plants, which suggests to the typical voter who's likely not going to be able to read the entire initiative straight through, that it could be a large amount, when in fact it's only a small amount. It's only what's considered currently a petty offense with regards to the 1 ounce, and it's only the same amount that one could produce currently under the medical marijuana law.
Okay, fair enough.
I also don't think that this is a sign of your lack of intelligence. It's, it's just a different issue.
It's been a long time since I was in college. I'm fine trying to find a way to keep the numbers in there then. The problem is it's not quite accurate now. I don't know if it's in a material sense not accurate.
We would be happy to withdraw this specific correction if that would make this agreeable.
I mean, I kind of liked where you were going with mature and immature. Seems closer to representing it.
Or harvestable versus unharvestable. It's just that that's not what the language specifically says.
Right. And again, I just don't know enough to know whether that introduces some inaccuracy into it. I don't think it does, but I just don't know.
Thanks.
And I think I'm in agreement that I don't think that the proposed change is completely accurate because there are size restrictions. I don't know that flowering or non-flowering means a lot to most folks in terms of understanding what's harvestable or not. But to have all the detail in there, I'm in agreement that to describe all the different plant sizes and flowering or non-flowering it seems just too much and not helpful to the voters. And so I would go back to say something like to possess up to 6 marijuana plants depending on size and harvestability. I mean, because then you at least know that there are some limitations imposed based on size and whether they're harvestable based on flowering or non-flowering. And perhaps that conveys more information to the voters than doing anything else.
I think in that case we'd be substituting a less clear language for more specific language, and it's really unnecessary. Again, you know, we are specifying that it's 3 plants of a specific height, 3 plants of another specific height. I don't think that simply saying 6 plants with some, I mean, then we could just say, should marijuana be legal and regulated, period. I mean, the point is that we are specifying a certain number of plants in a certain height. If we would like to maintain the specifics, I think we should simply include the language that is the staff drafted and not make it less clear by changing numbers and including a number that never appears anywhere in the law.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that you could leave, let me make sure I'm reading it right. The measure is, the staff draft is also, I think, inaccurate. I think if you get rid of, if you leave in the second deletion, that is, put back in the first line and just do the exact opposite of, I'm using, I think, a triple negative here. Delete the language about, on line 6, about 3 that are less than 12 inches in height. As I read it, you can have basically 3 that have no flowers and are less than 12 inches. If they get flowers or get over 12 inches, then they count it, they fall into the other categories. So there's really only 3 categories, whereas the staff draft had 4 categories of plants. And so what you can have is 3 that are small and have no flowers. And then you can have 3 that are either big or have flowers or both. And I think that as it is now, captures that. 3 flowering or 3 that are more than 12 inches in height. And that's category 1. And category 2 is 3 immature ones, small and no flowers.
Yeah, I mean, the specific language, I think you're on the right track. It says possession of up to 3 marijuana plants that have no flowers and are less. So the first one is marijuana plants that have no flowers and less than 12 inches. And then up to 3 that do have flowers. Well, it uses or and. So the first one says and the second one says or.
Right, but if you had 3 plants that are 10 inches but have flowers, you can't also have 3 that are 15 inches and whether or not they have flowers. If they have flowers, they fall into the mature category, and you can't then... But the way it was written previously, without making that deletion, suggested that
if you had three that are smaller than 12 inches, you could also have, even if they had flowers, you could have three other ones. I think this is accurate. It's a little confusing, but that's just because it's kind of a complicated bit of law. But I think this is more accurate.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I would agree that that accurately reflects the language.
With the edits shown on the board at this point, or?
Correct.
Thanks.
Are you sure? Because it would seem like the three non-flowering marijuana plants on the end of 5 and 6 and into 6 still needs the less than 12 inches in height? Because that's...
Well,
I mean, it's sort of strange because those that are more than 12 inches in height, it doesn't matter whether they're flowering or non-flowering?
I think I see what we could do. If you remove, in the currently the struck part, if you remove or three marijuana plants, that it would be non-flowering marijuana plants and less than 12 inches in height. Because that's what the language suggests, is that they're non-flowering and less than 12 inches in height. So we're essentially, we're using the term three marijuana plants twice when it might not be necessary.
But am I understanding correctly that for those that are more than 12 inches in height, it doesn't matter whether they're flowering or non-flowering?
That is correct.
Okay.
It is marijuana plants that do have flowers or are more than 12 inches in height.
Which could include non. Okay. Yeah, I agree that if we took out the or three marijuana plants that's currently stricken and keep the rest of line 6, and you take the or also before that?
You could even, instead of leaving that, it could be and, but whatever. Because that's the language in the law, but I honestly don't care. Oh, no, no. Yeah, no, that's correct. How you have it is correct. Sorry.
What is harvestable to you? Is it a plant that is either flowering or more than 12 inches?
Essentially, a plant that is flowering will, in most cases, almost always be over 12 inches. A plant that is under 12 inches is virtually impossible to be flowering.
But I just...
So harvest, I mean, basically when you're using marijuana, when you're cultivating marijuana, you're cultivating it in hopes of producing the flower. The flower is the part that is really what people are seeking. So if it's non-flowering, it really doesn't provide a whole lot of use.
But the limit that says you have up to three plants that either have flowers or are more than 12 inches, is the reason for that? That if either of those conditions are met, it's usable?
Well, because there could be plants that are more than 12 inches but not yet flowering. So let's say you have three plants that are less than 12 inches. You can also have three plants that are more than 12 inches or three, you know, so they're essentially the same thing. So you might have two plants that are flowering and one that's more than 12 inches but not flowering, and three that are not, that are less than 12 inches. Does that make sense?
Well, if you, okay, sort of, but maybe I'm, I think you're overcomplicating, but if you have two plants that are flowering, regardless of height, and you have one plant that's more than 12 inches, you have three usable plants. And do you want to limit people to three of those plants that are either flowering or over 12 inches?
Correct.
Because they're usable.
Well, we're not getting into usability. We're simply saying
I was using the phrase harvestable, but I was trying to avoid getting... I mean, why? I'm just trying to understand, the measure has two limits here, basically, it seems like. And I thought the premise was three that are usable, harvestable or something, and three that are not there yet, not mature, not something. Because they're too short or they're not flowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what we're saying is that a plant, just because it's over 12 inches, is not necessarily flowering. But an individual will be able to have plants that are over 12 inches and not flowering. So their three plants over 12 inches could be flowering or not, but they can only have three. And they can only have three that are under 12 inches. That's that.
I if we're going to go that direction, I think I would prefer mature and immature. It's a little bit less technical about harvesting.
Yeah.
But I think I have one more suggestion that goes along in the direction Ms. Eubanks did that I think might make this a little simpler. If on line 4, it said to possess up to 3 marijuana plants and then delete or 3 marijuana plants, that goes on 4 and 5, up to 3 marijuana plants that are flowering or more than 12 inches in height, and then leave the rest as it is, and 3 non-flowering that are less than 12 inches in height. I think that
helps group.
I think that takes one more of the 3 marijuana plants out, and I think it's accurate.
It's helpful.
See, you're getting good at this.
Yeah. Till we discover it's inaccurate, like my last one. But that would be, I think, my suggestion, is on line 4, you take out the word flowering between 3 and marijuana. And then you delete or 3 marijuana plants on lines 4 and 5. And then you insert flowering after R, correct, on line 5. And flowering or.
I think that that's exactly accurate.
I think it is too. And I think that reads pretty well.
I do think it's a lot more readable. Sounds like it's accurate. So.
I think I'll move that we make that change.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Before I go, we just adopted a change, but I don't want to foreclose others who might want to speak to the staff draft. Is there anybody else who wants to comment on the staff draft that's present? Okay, then we'll proceed. Mr. Tvert, you had other suggestions?
Yes. We would like to propose adding a clause following line 18, I believe, on your draft. Oh, on your draft, I'm sorry. On your draft, it would be 20. I'm sorry, mine has different numbers. Yeah. And we would ask that following proposed initiative. Yeah, right there. We would like to add the clause requiring the State Department of regulatory agencies to establish a verification system intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license.
And what part of the measure, where is that?
This actually relates to the point that we addressed earlier with regards to the confidentiality of the database, so we are simply making it clear that this is something that will have oversight that there will be, that it is intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of licenses.
Did you say again what your proposal is?
Yes. The clause would be requiring the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to establish a verification system intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license. This is based on L, section L.
Ms. Eubanks?
I just have a question in terms of placement. It seems like maybe that should come after the clause requiring that talks about the requirement that the information is kept confidential. So instead of placing it there on line 20, perhaps we'd want to place it after the semicolon on line 21. Because it's sort of part and parcel. I mean, the fact that that this verification system is needed is because otherwise the information is confidential, and so maybe to say, you know, this information is confidential first, and then that makes sense that there's a verification system for law enforcement. Justin,
could you just make it part of that clause instead of two separate clauses requiring the department to keep a list of licensees and establish a verification system, etc., and that it be kept, that the name and addresses of licensees be kept confidential.
Before we get too far, I'd also like to mention that we are also proposing another change to that next line, so if that might be helpful in terms of figuring out both of these in conjunction. The next phrase that we would add would be in that clause, following proposed initiative, the same one we're looking at, requiring that the name and address of a marijuana licensee be kept confidential unless the disclosure is, and we would like to add right here, necessary for the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to perform its duties or is required by a court or competent jurisdiction. I apologize for not having these printed out so you can actually see them right in front of you.
Before we go too much further into the wording, how important is this? I mean, I'm just wondering if this is really a central feature, this, you know, the confidentiality, exceptions, verification of licensees. I mean, if we're authorizing possession, and I mean, I'm just thinking of what are the major features here? Is this possibly a detail of how this will work? Given that there's federal laws that I think I think it's here because of federal laws, and you're trying to strike a balance between what the measure allows and what the needs of law enforcement are, and so forth. But is it possibly just a detail that we don't need to include at all?
Well, in light of the draft proposed by the council, we simply think that these additions are necessary to make it clear that we're not trying to create a confidential database that will never be seen by anyone. Obviously, voters would want to know that licensees are being monitored and that law enforcement do have access. Now, if it's a matter of removing all of these details and simply discussing the very simple basics, I mean, that's a different discussion altogether, which we'd certainly be open to having, but in light of the draft put together, we just would like to see these additions to clarify the regulations that will be in place.
And I don't know, I am just wondering how detailed to get here, whether the staff draft is already too detailed. I mean, I think the confidentiality is significant, but I'm just not sure. We've got a pretty long title here. Ms. Eubanks?
I certainly agree.
Well, perhaps because there are exceptions to the confidentiality requirement, maybe you could just, instead of adding the stuff on the verification system, you just basically take the clause dealing with confidentiality to say that requiring the name and address of a marijuana licensee, oops, it just moved, licensee be kept confidential, except in certain circumstances, except for certain purposes, I mean, so that you know that there's some exceptions, but without having to get into that it's, you know, court of competent jurisdiction, it's for a verification system for law enforcement, all those sorts of things. Either, you know, you take it out completely, or at least if the confidentiality component is important, that you just recognize there are exceptions to the confidentiality requirement without specifying those, what the exceptions are.
I'd like to just reiterate that, that's essentially what we're suggesting, which is basically simply adding, currently it says kept confidential unless the disclosure is required by a court of competent jurisdiction. We're simply asking to add so that it reads, be kept confidential unless the disclosure is necessary for the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to perform its duties or is required by a court of competent jurisdiction. So it's not too...
Well, and I'm suggesting going the other way, where there are, where you recognize that there's exceptions without spelling them out, that the voters perhaps don't need that level of detail in a ballot title.
I was going to suggest just ending it after followed on line 18. I think those are all legally important things that there's a reason they're in there, in other words. But I don't think that's, it can't be our definition of material for purposes of a title, that it, anything that really has any effect on the measure has to be listed in there. I think all those things are important, you know, for how this actually gets worked out. On the other hand, you're really getting down into sort of answering questions that a couple people might have here and there, or that trying to preempt questions. The confidentiality is in some ways important. On the other hand, as has been pointed out, there are significant exceptions to it. And if the confidentiality is really important enough to be listed, I think it is probably important enough to spell it out. So in my view, I think I would lean towards leaving that out, leaving all that out.
One of the reasons why we did want to add the language to this part instead of striking this whole part is to ensure voters are aware that this is a tightly regulated system, much like any other, so that they don't think that it's simply a matter of people filing for licenses and then having no oversight. So that's really our intention of adding the language and not asking to strike the rest of it.
Ms. Eubanks?
One, if I could just point out that based on the response to my one question about the laundry, the tax in particular, but the whole laundry list of different types of features that may be included in legislation, that it's not even mandatory, so the last clause isn't even accurate, because the GA isn't required to adopt legislation regarding the whole laundry list, and so I think that one goes out.
Right, that was
regardless.
Yeah, and I think the part of that that's important is what's discussed on lines basically 17 and basically line 17. What's really important is that the state has to set up a system, and if it doesn't, there's got to be a local backup licensing process. Kind of the details of it, I agree, especially since the details of it are not really mandatory, that I would definitely get rid of everything from the and on line 21 to the end.
Well, and I tend to agree that maybe everything beginning on line 18 to the end could be eliminated. These are administrative details in a way, important, but not, they sort of flow from what comes before, I think. I mean, measure wouldn't be effective if the department or a locality could justify refusing to carry it out because of federal.
Well, I think it's absolutely critical that that language be in there. It's included in the law, and voters should be aware of the fact that this is not something that can't be done. I mean, that's one of the most frequent objections, not only from opponents but from elected officials and government employees, is that they rely on federal or international law as a justification for refusing to carry out these types of initiatives, and that is actually being prohibited in this. And I think it's important that voters know that that cannot be used as a justification.
It still kind of strikes me as it's not adding very much, but
the council obviously felt that it was important enough to include, and we certainly think that it's critical that it be included, so voters are aware of the fact that this is not something that can be ignored. It is, I mean, this law will in fact prohibit that, and I think that they have to vote on that.
Well, can I just suggest, I don't like setting long, complicated titles. On the other hand, the main reason I think not to is because proponents typically don't like it because it gets hard for voters to follow. And that's, sometimes I think we're too deferential to proponents on some of this, but that seems to be one area where it probably is appropriate that we be more deferential rather than less. If they really think something is material and it's not inaccurate or misleading, that maybe we go ahead and make it a little bit longer than we otherwise would. Now, what Ms. Eubanks was discussing on lines 21 till the end either needs to come out or be changed. But I'm willing to leave in the international law, federal or international law language if the proponents really want it. I'm willing to add language that they suggested or something similar to the next clause rather than get rid of it. And I'm not sure how they feel about those last couple lines, but
I recommend the possibility of removing the line that you all had trouble with, which was the one that requiring that the name and address of a marijuana licensee be kept confidential unless, and then we had proposed, if we removed that entire line and instead simply included the line that we proposed, which is requiring the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to establish a verification system intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license, and leaving it at that without getting into the concept of confidential databases and such. And then it just lets people know that there will be a database that can be accessed if necessary by law enforcement.
Why would the voters expect that? I mean, I thought the confidentiality was more important than.
I think that voters would want to know that law enforcement does have oversight with regards to licensees, much like voters would want to know if law enforcement would be able to access a database of alcohol licensees. So I think it's critical that we make sure voters are aware that this will be something that law enforcement can access. I don't necessarily think it's as important that we include in the title that this list is otherwise confidential, which is basically the case. But, you know, again,
Depends, we're
happy to leave it in, so.
Depends on which group of voters you're concerned
about. You're
absolutely
correct.
I'm back to where I was. I say we leave in as much as they want to leave in. Add generally something add something. I agree with the proponents that as it's written, the confidentiality language is misleading because I don't think that's the only... I don't think you have to get a court order to get at this, is my understanding. Law enforcement's supposed to be able to get at it.
Correct.
I don't think with a court order. So I do think that needs to be fixed somehow.
Would you like me to repeat the addition we suggested?
Yeah, I mean, I think I have the basic idea of it, and it made sense to me. But if we are going to add it, we'll need you to repeat it, I think. But maybe we should talk about whether it's worth...
Well, and what was your reaction, Mr. Tavert, to
Ms. Eubanks'
suggestion
of keeping the confidentiality in there, but just simply saying, basically, with exceptions?
I think that we do need to make it clear that... we are requiring the State Department of regulatory agencies to establish a verification system that will allow law enforcement to review these. I don't think simply saying that there are exceptions makes it clear that this does allow law enforcement and state regulatory agencies to oversee this system.
So then your suggestion again was...
Would you like me to repeat?
Sure.
So with regard to the current line regarding confidentiality, which begins for you on 20, requiring that the name and address of a marijuana licensee be kept confidential unless the disclosure is, we would like to add, necessary for the State Department of regulatory agencies to perform its duties or is... Then it would go on to say, required by a court of competent jurisdiction. We then had the other line, the other clause, which could follow that or precede that, which was requiring the State Department of regulatory agencies to establish a verification system intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license.
Well, I think I'm in a minority here. I just feel like we're getting too detailed about the provisions. We're required to set brief titles and state the chief features, but I feel like we're trying to put a lot in there to where voters can read the measure, read the blue book. But
I absolutely agree that it seems long, but I don't think that we should sacrifice important details at the in order to keep it brief. I think that it's very important that voters know that there is going to be a licensing system being imposed that does allow regulatory agencies and law enforcement to access it. I think that that's far more substantial than the height of the plans.
Don't licensing databases, aren't they normally accessible by law enforcement?
Well, we're specifying that it's confidential.
But I thought you were saying you could even drop that as far as you were concerned.
We would just like it to be clear that this is a system. I mean, we're saying requiring the State Department of regulatory agencies to establish a verification system. I think that that's part of the law. I think that very clearly expresses what the law will do. And it says intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license. Obviously, we are talking about... new laws related to marijuana, and people are going to have questions about whether law enforcement has access to that licensing information.
Yeah, again, I think I'm in a minority here, but I just think the issues of confidentiality and access, I think, are just too detailed.
Open to motions or...
Thanks.
Well, no, actually, I think I'm sort of where you are in terms of we're getting into a lot of administrative details. While the language on 18 and 19 about reliance on federal or international law, I can understand perhaps why it may be important to at least include that. Although if we include that phrase, I do have a couple of small changes to it. Because I think, one, you can drop the language as a justification, And also, I think our normals, when we're referring to a measure, we say this measure rather than the provisions of the proposed initiative. So if we're going to keep that phrase in, I would like to make a few little changes. But in terms of dropping the confidentiality, not including verification, and definitely dropping the language on the legislation, I would make that motion.
I would like to point out very quickly that the line that we're suggesting, requiring the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to establish a verification system, that actually addresses one of your questions at the beginning of this hearing, where you asked how would someone even know whether a particular licensee was a licensee. So this would answer that question, which is basically saying that there will be a verification system in place so that law enforcement who come across a marijuana distribution center, if you will, have the ability to verify that. And that was a question that you all posed, so I think that this addresses that.
And I don't doubt that your measure addresses those issues. It's just whether or not it needs to be in the title. That's the issue here. I mean,
sure.
I mean, your measure, if voters adopt it, is going to require what it requires, including the verification system, including the confidentiality with exceptions, all those things. It's just an issue of whether or not those provisions need to be referenced in the title.
I certainly understand, and quite frankly, I am all for less litigiousness and less of this language, but the fact remains that it is a major part of this, and a lot of voters, I mean, where the ballot titles is intended to give a quick snapshot of what this law will do, and if voters read this and do not see language that confirms that we are setting up a system of verification that law enforcement can access, many will maybe think that there isn't one. And I think it's really important that we be clear about this, especially in light of the fact that we're talking about a line in an already long ballot title. I don't think that that it really makes much of a difference.
Can I ask the board, are we talking now about just removing what's on 20 and 21 completely and no reference to the names and who can access it, et cetera?
That would be my preference.
Yeah.
I would be okay with that. I mean, I do think that generally the proponents are in a better position than us to figure out what's material to the people they're concerned about. And I can understand, I think, why the proponents think this is material, given what's gone on with the medical marijuana databases and the concern that people might have. So, given that the proponents feel so strongly about this, I would be happy to leave it in. I'm not going to fight too hard. And since we're a little miniature democracy here, there's not any point. But I would suggest leaving it in. If it is left in, I agree with the proponents that it needs some additional language. But that's probably not worth discussing that if it's 2-1 to take it out.
And again, I'd just like to bring forward the suggestion that if we, you know, we said is we are okay with removing currently lines 20 and 21, that clause requiring that the name and address of a marijuana licensee be kept confidential. Unless the disclosure is required by a court of competent jurisdiction, we are open to that line being removed because we don't think that is a detail that I don't think is critical to the understanding of the voter. But I do, in replacement of that, the line that we suggested would simply cover that, which is requiring the State Department of Regulatory Agencies to establish a verification system intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license, and leave it at that.
Well, Mr. Domenico did influence me very much on the preceding clause, lines 18 and 19, about relying on federal international law. I mean, on the one hand, I actually think you're right that proponents are in a better position maybe to know more about what's important in the real world and what's not, but I think that only goes so far. I mean, at the same time, proponents are deep into the details of their measure, and it's all important to them, too. So I'm trying to strike a reasonable balance between that, and that's kind of why I was willing to defer to proponents on one clause, but not the last two. Ms. Eubanks?
I'll offer something up, and we'll see how it goes. I would suggest that we strike the language after the semicolon on line 20 through the end of the staff draft and all the way, and substitute in its place "and requiring the establishment of a license verification system for law enforcement." Requiring the establishment of a license verification system for law enforcement.
Or comment?
I certainly think that that's a very good change. I think the one thing I'd recommend would be instead of for law enforcement, I would include intended to permit law enforcement to verify the validity of a license.
And I think, you know, the concept is covered. It's the system's going to be utilized by law enforcement for the purpose that you just stated, but I just don't think we need all those words. And so I would move that change.
Second. Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Ms. Eubanks?
And then on the phrase immediately prior to that, starting on line 18 through 20, on line 19 I would move to strike "as a justification." I think it reads just fine, "from relying on federal or international law for refusing to carry out." And then I would also strike the language at the end of the clause, "the provisions of the proposed initiative," and substitute "this measure." So it would be "for refusing to carry out this measure."
Second. Comment, Mr. DeBert, you're okay with that? Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. Any other changes?
Just a couple small things. Sorry, I don't have the same numbers here. If you would mind scrolling down to the next page, please.
That's the same.
Yeah, we on the what begins with what line is now line 6 is just the same, but it's in the form of a question.
Wait a minute. We've somehow struck.
We've struck about the General Assembly.
I think that's not absolutely critical. I mean, the law does require the General Assembly to adopt legislation regarding those things. And I think where did that come from?
I thought it authorized the General Assembly to adopt legislation on those things.
Well, then should we just simply replace the word requiring with authorizing? I don't understand why we're now no longer... Yeah, I mean, we think it's absolutely critical that we, as you mentioned, maintain, we let voters know that the Assembly has the authority to tax... to license, to develop these laws. I don't know I mean, that includes specific, you know, numbers on with regards to the taxes that might be implemented. So I don't know how we jump to removing that entire amount of language from simply addressing the previous clause.
Is your banks?
We hadn't even discussed it.
Well, as an attorney for the General Assembly has plenary power. So even if your measure didn't authorize them to enact legislation or require them to enact legislation or include your laundry list of possible features of that legislation, the General Assembly can implement constitutional amendments. So to me, this is just an administrative requirement. I mean, the General Assembly implements constitutional amendments all the time. I don't think that that's an essential feature that the voters need to know about. And in terms of the laundry list, since that's only discretionary, I see that there's no need to include it in the title at all.
I think it's, you know, something that voters are absolutely going to want to know, that there is power to restrict advertising for marijuana. There is power to impose a tax. I mean, we went from saying that that was, you know, an important issue to now just completely removing it from the entire thing. I don't understand why we're not describing to voters what the legislature will be able to do, because those are a lot of questions voters will have. A voter could very easily say, well, I'm all for this, but I don't want to see advertisements for marijuana. But if they saw that section, they would know that the General Assembly has the ability to do that. And I don't think most voters would otherwise know that.
Ms. Eubanks.
And I, you know, because it's already the General Assembly's authority to do that, the fact that you require them to do it by a certain date and then you have a discretionary list, I see no need to include that. I mean, if voters are that interested, you've got it in your measure, it sets forth, it'll probably be mentioned in the Blue Book analysis. I think the information is there if voters are concerned about it.
Well, I'd just like to, you know, reiterate our objection to that in light of the fact that voters are not typically attorneys who represent the General Assembly and are actually simple individuals who have questions about a law that they're considering adopting. And I think that this very closely, you know, demonstrates to them what they're voting on and makes it clear to them how this system will be carried out if they approve this. I mean, I don't understand how including it in there will benefit anyone other than I don't know how it will benefit anyone, quite frankly. But I think that including it certainly makes it a clearer picture of what type of system we're setting up, one in which our elected officials can determine whether this is the case. And again, I understand completely that they already maintain that authority, but obviously this is a very new type of law, and it's a very, you know, it's obviously a ballot initiative, but there's no good reason why we shouldn't make it clear to voters that this is something that can be addressed, because this is a constitutional amendment. Many voters might think that if it doesn't include that in there, it will never be addressed, that there will never be a tax or there will never be restrictions on advertising. So we should be making it clear that the General Assembly will, in fact, be able to address that.
But I have to agree with Ms. Eubanks. I mean, we don't know what the General Assembly will do. I mean, this doesn't really tell the voters anything about what will happen. There may or may not ever be restrictions on advertising.
And that's why we're simply saying authorizing instead of requiring. I mean, the General Assembly is, in fact, specifically authorized to address those issues.
And Ms. Eubanks is saying they could do that anyway.
I don't think that that's common knowledge. I don't think that people understand that. I don't understand why it would necessarily have any impact other than to hurt the initiative or to hurt the way or to, you know, negatively impact the way a voter might view this. I don't see it as causing any problems by leaving it in there and detailing the fact that once this passes, it is something that the Assembly is going to be taking up.
We don't know that. I mean, why tell the voters that that's something that will happen when we don't know that's the case?
It's something that can happen. So that they know that it's that it's possible.
Well, I just have to disagree, but I appreciate your point of view. And we could revisit that if there were a motion for rehearing, but at this point we've stricken that language.
Yeah, I mean, I would be, I think, okay with changing it to authorizing, except I do think there might be some confusion, as we initially had, and as the staff seem to have had about what's really going on. The part of that section E of the measure that's really material is the first sentence that requires it to adopt legislation carrying out the initiative. That I think is covered in line 17 and 18, which discusses a state licensing process. Again, I don't feel strongly one way or the other about it. If we were, I do feel strongly that we would have to change it to authorizing if we were going to leave it in. But if everyone else wants to take it out, I agree that is just a list of examples that the General Assembly could take up, but only if it wants to. Ms. Eubanks is right, it could do that anyway. So I'm not going to... I think I will go along with what we already have.
I think, you know, reviewing Section E, which is the section of the law or the initiative that this represents, we're basically saying that the legislation that is feasibly allowed may include are these specific things. So it's not simply saying there could be a laundry list of tons of things. It's saying that their actions may include these specific things. And it's important that we let the voters know that the General Assembly is authorized to address these specific things, because these are the very important things that they will have questions about.
One thing I thought about earlier was whether the concept of the state being required to set up a regulatory system is in fact captured strongly enough in the language as it is now. And I was going to propose, you know, something saying requiring the state to enact legislation necessary to implement the measure. If we were to add something like that, then you could also just add on and allowing it to enact additional regulation or authorizing additional regulation that doesn't make the licensing impractical. Was one thought I had that would capture all of E, because in some sense I'm not sure that the state system is captured very strongly in what we have. I do think it's there. It would be fairly easy to say that in addition to requiring a state regulatory system to do this, it authorizes certain other things without listing them all. But again, I'm okay with it as is. If nobody else thinks that's helpful or necessary, then I won't offer it or try to spell it out.
Again, I just reiterate that I think that that's too broad. I mean, that actually opens the voters' mind up to a laundry list of things that may not actually be something the legislature is able to address. The law specifically says that they may address these specific things. If we simply say that they can address things, that opens the door for all sorts of things that may not be allowed. And this is why not be specific about what exactly the legislature is authorized to consider.
Unless there's a motion, change what we've done or to change another portion of the staff draft, I think we're ready to conclude. I guess I would suggest then that it's in order for a motion to adopt the staff draft as amended. I guess I'll go ahead and move then that we adopt the staff draft as amended. And although it's awfully long, just for the record, I'm going to read it into the record, if there's a second, by the way, I guess I'll...
Second.
Give us one last chance to see if there's anything we need to correct here or reconsider. And it's understood that the same changes would be made in the ballot title and submission clause, but the staff draft as amended now reads, an amendment to the Colorado Constitution concerning authorization of a legally regulated market for marijuana for persons 21 years of age or older, comma, in connection therewith, comma, permitting a person 21 years of age or older to possess up to 1 ounce of marijuana and to possess up to 3 marijuana plants that are flowering or more than 12 inches in height, and 3 non-flowering marijuana plants that are less than 12 inches in height, semicolon, creating a right to obtain a license to operate a retail marijuana store, comma, a marijuana cultivation facility, comma, and a marijuana products manufacturing facility, semicolon, permitting the sale of marijuana by a licensed retail marijuana store to a person 21 years of age or older, semicolon, permitting a person with a marijuana cultivation license to cultivate, comma, process, comma, pack, comma, and transport marijuana, semicolon, permitting the manufacture of marijuana products by a person with a marijuana products manufacturer license, semicolon, prohibiting the open and public consumption of marijuana, semicolon, requiring localities to set up a local licensing authority for marijuana licensees and procedures for the issuance, comma, suspension, comma, and revocation of a local license, semicolon, permitting localities to create a local licensing process if a state licensing process is not established or followed, semicolon, prohibiting the Department of Regulatory Agencies or a locality from relying on federal or international law for refusing to carry out this measure, semicolon, and requiring the establishment of a license. of a license verification system for law enforcement, period. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, no. That motion carries 3-0. That concludes action on number 47. The time is 3:02 p.m. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Do we need a break?
I'll use a quick one.
Keep going.
I could use a couple minutes.
Oh, okay. We'll take a 3 or 4 minute break.